You're listening to the redcafe.net podcast.
Coming up on episode 34 of the redcafe.net podcast, we'll be looking back at the emphatic win over Bolton as the Reds maintain their title charge. 17 Larson is contestant 9 on the CAF countdown, and a Chelsea fan joins us on the line to preview this weekend's encounter.
Welcome to the redcafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
Well, welcome to episode 34, and we've finally got going after a number of technical problems. Dan, Dov, how are you this week?
I'm fine, thanks, mate. It's just waiting to get round to it. It's been a bit of a nightmare, hasn't it? on all fronts. Dov's been cut off. You've been struggling with your laptop, and I got cut off a few times as well.
Got a whole lot of hands to go now. Take the responsibility for it all, because it has been a bit of a nightmare. But Dov, how are you this week? Other than problems.
Yeah, not bad. I've managed to make myself a cup of tea in between all the problems. So, that's cheering me up a little bit. Let's just say that. But other than that, I'm very well.
Hopefully we'll cheer you up even more then by talking about the Bolton win, because it was absolutely fantastic. A great result, 4-0. And Dan, ahead of what's going to be a really, really important week, isn't it, with Chelsea and then Bayern twice as well. It was vital, wasn't it, to make sure we went out and got the 3 points against Bolton.
Yeah, it was a fantastic victory as well, and like you say, very important, especially when we rested Ferdinand and Rooney as well. Park was on the bench, who I'm sure will start against Bayern in the first leg as well. So, a decent performance, much needed 3 points, and it spurs us on now, I think, into that big game, especially against Chelsea next Saturday.
Dov, let's talk about Dimitar Berbatov.
Well, I knew you were going to say that. I knew it.
Couple of goals and pretty decent performance, although he wasn't spectacular, but he put away his two chances very well, and he led the line pretty well, didn't he?
I would have to agree with you, Steve. Is that 4 or 5 weeks on the trot? Dimitar Berbatov has played very, very well. He actually had run about a little bit, got his two goals, did miss a couple of chances, but I'll let him away with that this week. And I loved his finish, just his wee sort of outside of the foot finish to just tap the goal in. There, and like you say, led the line well. I did expect them to play instead of Rooney, given obviously the games that we've got coming up, and it was fantastic. But I think this sort of says a lot about the type of games he'll be used in, the way Fergie sees him in the team, sees him against sides like Bolton, who will maybe look sort of to, I don't know, not park the bus, but really be sort of an aggressive side, a side that they'll look to try and shut us out, and he's obviously there for his tricks and flicks. I love for Evans's chance, the little sort of, it was like a little flick back that Fletcher ran onto, I think it was, and then obviously the ball fell to Evans, who blasted it over, but the little that flick was top drawer. I really enjoyed that. Hopefully more of the same for Dimitar.
Absolutely. And Dan, just talking about the experience, I don't know if you noticed the experience in the team that started against Bolton. We had Gary Neville, Ryan Giggs, Edwin van der Sar, Paul Scholes, obviously all 30 and above. And of course, you got Nemanja Vidic, Patrice Evra, Dimitar Berbatov, Darren Fletcher. None of them are youngsters. I mean, we're talking mid to late 20s. So very, very experienced squad. And what would you say, how did that have an impact on the game and in the title race in general?
Well, it just means that, if things are getting a bit hectic, Bolton were lumping a few long balls into the area, weren't they? Maybe a younger team might have succumbed to that and folded a little bit. But like you say, the likes of Gary Neville, Vidic as well, Scholes, Giggs, they've all been there. They've all done it. So they know exactly what's needed to win those types of games. Obviously, you're going to have a few low points in the season, like, against Burnley, where we didn't really show up and we deserved to get beat that day. And it's just learning from your experiences, and that's not happened again. Because it was a potentially tricky game against Bolton.
That's what I mean. Do you think it was intentional from Ferguson, knowing that Bolton was such a tough place to go?
Yeah, definitely. Ferguson knew Bolton were going to mix it up a bit. They put a few challenges in the first half. Obviously, the big talking point about Vidic, and did he use his elbow, did he not? I'm not bothered. I don't think he intentionally caught Elmander. There was one on Nani in the first half that was a bit bit naughty as well, but no one's talking about that. But yeah, Ferguson, of course he knows what he's doing. And he knew what he was doing when he was, you know, using his experience, you know, going up to the referee at half-time, having a bit of a pop at him. He knows what to do in these situations. And it worked well. We, you know, turned out 4-0 winners.
Dov, Dan briefly mentioned Nani there. Couple of assists for him. And just in terms of the sort of the last 6 to 10 games of the season, I mean, how much of a part can Nani play? Do you see him playing against Bayern? Do you see him playing against Chelsea? Or is he likely to be more effective in the games against sort of like the lesser teams, like the Boltons and the Manchester Cities?
I think I like that, Steve. That's good. I think he got a new contract recently as well, so I think he's justified that with recent performances. And I think he can go on. I mean, Frank Ferguson said he's matured a lot in the last sort of couple of months, which I would tend to agree with. I mean, you know that I've always been a fan of him, and the listeners will know that as well, despite people giving him sort of a bit of a hard time and saying that he's not going to make it. I think he's stepped up to the level that we know he can play at, and obviously got two assists. He was fantastic, and he's starting to play more as a team player. So he's starting to chase back and sort of help the defence out a little bit. And I think the partnership that he could develop with Evra, it could really work well for us in the future. I mean, the two of them, obviously, they're good on the ball. That both of them are quite skillful, and if Nani gets the defensive duty sorted out as well, then I think that's a formidable left flank you've got in there, and I'm full of praise for him. I think one of the best players on the pitch that day.
Dan, just slightly aside from the Bolton game, Owen Hargreaves, we talked about him last week and over the last few weeks actually, how he's sort of stepping up his comeback, and Ferguson's even said that first team return isn't too far away. I believe he was pulled out of the reserves the last time we played purely because he wanted him to step up his first team comeback. I mean, how does he fit in to that side when you've got Fletcher playing as well as he is? And surely you can't have a midfield that's got both Fletcher and Hargreaves unless you play a 4-5-1. So do you see him sort of having a role towards the end of the season, or are we definitely looking at next season now?
I think depending on the fitness of our right backs, I think that could be important, because obviously, you know, Hargreaves can play at right back. It's not his preferred position, obviously, but I mean, I can't see for the life of me Gary Neville playing every game to the end of the season now. I think he is too old to play every game, but even though he's done very well recently, I just think that time will catch up with him, if, you know, especially in high intensity games, you know, saying, you know, Bayern tomorrow, and then you've got Chelsea on Saturday as well. They're two big games for someone who's of Gary Neville's age, but maybe he could fit in at right back, I don't know. Wes Brown looks like he's going to be out for a while. O'Shea's meant to be coming back to training pretty sharpish. So maybe Ferguson's looking at that option. I mean, I don't know. I'd like to see him back anyway.
Oh, just before we move on, guys, we've got one email this week from Nathan Hornsby, and he brings up a really interesting topic. Tevez and Berbatov. Now, it was hotly debated last season, wasn't it, about which one should start over the other, both on the podcast and on Ferguson's mind as well. But, guys, I'll ask you, I mean, based on their performances this season, Nathan wants to know sort of what you think. I mean, who would you have now? Would you stick with Berbatov, or would you swap him now for Tevez, considering he scored a hat-trick tonight, and in terms of goals he scored this season, he scored quite a few for City. So it's fair to say he's having a good season.
Steve, could you not ask me this about 3 or 4 weeks ago? That'd be much easier to answer.
Listen, Dov, I wouldn't swap them. I've said that last season, I'll say it again. Tevez is a good player, isn't he? But I think that Berbatov just oozes quality. Tevez is a different sort of player, as we all know. I just love the way Berbatov plays football. I think it's a joy to watch, and I like it. So I'm not going to change my opinions unless something drastic happens. Yeah, he scored a hat trick against Wigan. A 10-man Wigan.
Are you trying to belittle his achievements?
No, come on. I mean, they're not top notch. I know he scored against some good teams this year, so I'm not knocking him for that. But I don't think there's anything to look into there, really. He's a good player, but I just don't think whether he wanted to stay at United properly, really, or we didn't want him, it doesn't matter because he's not there. So, you know, Berbatov is. Let's support him and let's get behind him, Dov.
Yeah, I'm all for Berbatov, but just one point on Tevez. Like, when he does play for City, obviously I've not seen him as much this season as I did last season, but when I have seen him play for them, he lifts the team and it gives them a different dimension to what they have.
Well, that's because I think he's probably their outstanding player, isn't he? in a team that's not probably full of outstanding players. Whereas at United, obviously he was here when Ronaldo was there. You've got Rooney as well. Berbatov last season, he's still a decent player. You've got other players in the mix as well. So he's going to look really good in that team. I mean, City's team, it's decent, but it's nowhere near United or Chelsea,
it's
Arsenal.
It's the way he lifts the team, and he drags that. Like if that team was struggling, I've seen him drag that team from a really, really low start position, drag them through and get a couple of goals, get an assist. And really, I love the way Tevez just, he'll run about and he harries defenders and he gets in their way and he stops them playing. He like defends from the front in a sense. And I love that about Tevez. So, Dan, unless Berbatov starts doing that.
He has started, eh, Dobby? He has started last few weeks.
That's what I said. This email should have came in about 5 weeks ago. It'd be much easier to answer.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Right, next up on the CAF countdown, we have 17 Larson, otherwise known as Darren. How are you, Darren?
Not too bad.
Good. You looking forward to the Bayern match tomorrow night?
Yeah, hopefully it'll be good. If we get any sort of a result over there, hopefully we can come back to Old Trafford and finish it off.
Yeah, I think a score draw would be a nice little
result.
Maybe a 1-0 or a 2-2, something like that.
Yeah, that'd be a very good result, yeah.
Do you think Rio and Rooney will be fit?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know much about the Rio thing, but I'm presuming he's not going to be able to keep Rooney off the pitch. But hopefully Rio will be fit, yeah.
Good. Well, we'll get on to the CAF countdown now. Decorative Ed was last week's contestant. He got 8 points. Do you reckon you can get 9 to top the table?
Not a chance.
Hey, hopefully. No one's ever any confidence. I thought you some of the questions.
The pressure of hell, you know.
Well, don't worry about it. Okay, you have 1 minute to answer as many questions as you can, Darren. The clock starts now. When was Ryan Giggs voted Young Player of the Year?
94.
Name the stadium in which United humbled Benfica in 1966. Which London team did United play 6 times in the 79-80 season? Who scored twice as United beat Blackburn at Old Trafford in 98? How did Dennis Law score against United for City in 1974 with a chipped bicycle kick or a back heel?
Back heel.
What position did David Beckham play in the 99 Champions League final?
Champions.
In which famous stadium did United play their matches in the FIFA World Championships in 2000? Who scored United's first league goal in the 93-94 season?
Can't think.
I just have a guess. It's the last question. You might as well have a guess.
All right. Dion Dublin?
No, it was Ryan Giggs against Norwich at Carrow Road, apparently. I didn't know that one, but there you go. Ryan Giggs was voted Young Player of the Year in 93.
Yeah.
The stadium in 1966, Benfica, was Stadium of Light. United played Tottenham 6 times in the 79-80 season. That's a tough one. I wouldn't have got that. Who scored twice as United beat Blackburn? It was Paul Scholes. Dennis Law did indeed score a back heel. Beckham did play central midfield, so the two that he got right. And the Maracanã, the Maracanã was the stadium we played in the World Championships in 2000. You got two. It's unlucky, really. I felt that they are quite tough questions. But thanks for joining us. It's good to have you on.
All right, great. Thanks very much, Nate.
Well, we'll move on to reserves review now, then. And Dov, bring us news about the last reserves fixture.
Well, Steve, unfortunately, there were no reserve fixtures last week. But the under-18s played the academy. They had a game against Sunderland. The reserve game was postponed. So I've got a little quick report on how the academy done. They played Sunderland on Saturday. They won 2-0. Nicky Adjozie scored 2 goals in the final 10 minutes of the game. It was a game affected a lot by the weather conditions. It was very, very windy. And Sunderland, for the most part, like they were probably the better side. They played a lot of good possession football, but so as the game went on, United so asserted their dominance. Just go through what happened towards the end. Jesse Lingard, there's a new name for everybody. He was a number 10, and he was the main threat from us. Cameron Stewart as well, and. Well, basically, the first half was pretty uneventful. Like I say, Sunderland had most of the play. Cameron Stewart, he went close with a shot, but it was deflected and it went high and wide. Although Stewart, he rolled a ball in 82nd minute, rolled about a ball from the left side to Lingard, who collected it sort of between the 18-yard line and the 6-yard line in the box, who then moved the ball back to Nicky Adjose, and he just sort of hit the ball first time into the net. And then that was an 82nd minute. Then on the 88th minute, it was Nicky Adjose was fouled in the box, and he sort of got up, slotted the ball home to win the match 2-0 for United. It was a reasonable performance, shall we say. Like Sunderland, they did have a very good game, but it's good to see a couple of youngsters. Zeki Friars was another one who played well. And like I say, Jesse Lingard, he was the number 10. He sort of set up the goal and he had a really, really good performance. So a couple of new faces in the academy side, but all in all, good performance from the boys.
Certainly was, decent result. And Dov, what about your Legends profile for this week? Who have you got lined up for us?
Well, this week, Steve, I have people were talking about Clay Blackmore being a bit of a, not really a legend, but more of a cult hero. So I've brought up a proper legend for everybody. It is Arthur Richard Alveston. He was a left-back for us, and he was born on the 14th of July, 1957, in the city where I reside, Edinburgh, in Scotland. He signed for Manchester United as a trainee in 1972, and then signed full-time papers in 1974. He it took a couple of years to break into the side. From when he came down, once he signed professional, he actually made his debut on the 9th of October 1974 in a home match against Manchester City in the League Cup, which we won 1-0. So excellent, a good start to your United career there. This was his debut, and it took a couple of years before he actually managed to break into the first team. He got his European debut in the UEFA Cup in 1976 against Ajax, and then towards the end of the 76-77 season, this is when he became a bit more of a regular player. Stuart Houston, who was the first choice left back, he injured his ankle ligaments and had to dropped out of the team that was to play in the FA Cup final in 1977, and this is where Arthur Alveston got his chance. It was against Liverpool, and he came up against a player by the name of Steve Highway, who was a fantastic player in his day, and Arthur Alveston, he was brilliant and led United, managed to help United to a 2-1 victory, which was incidentally our first cup win in 14 years, so obviously a long time coming. Obviously this was him breaking into the side, and for the next few years he fought with Stuart Houston for that left back slot. And it wasn't until sort of the 80s where he did make it his own under sort of Ron Atkinson, Dave Sexton and the like. All in all, the reason I picked him actually is because he's 10th in the all-time list of appearances for United. His career lasted from 74 until 1988, and he played 475 games for us. He was released in 1988, then went to play at West Bromwich Albion. And when at the time he was released, he was actually the longest serving player in the squad. And obviously, it was Tommy Docherty that signed him in 1972. And he was the only player left from that era at the time of his leaving. So did play a lot of games for us. It was a bit of a sort of unsung hero, shall we say. It was a solid player, very reliable. People have compared him to say, Dennis Irwin. It was that type of player. Like I say, he's unspectacular, so spell United. Didn't win the league, unfortunately. They did win the second division, 74-75, and it was a three-time FA Cup winner in 77-83 and 85. After he left United, obviously, I said he went to West Brom, had a season there, then moved to Dundee, Chesterfield, Chesterset, then sort of played out his career. He went to Mould, and Ayr United, Sittingbourne, Witton Albion, Droylsden as well. Actually had a brief film managing Droylsden between 96 and 97, and which is, here's one for you, he didn't actually get that many caps for Scotland, only 14 during his career, which is quite surprising really for the type of player he was, a solid, reliable, good professional player. He did play one game at the 86 World Cup as well. When he won the FA Cup in 1977, like I said, he obviously took over from Stuart Houston. And when he got his medal, he actually went up to Houston and they offered to give him it, because obviously this was him sort of making his arrival into the first team, shall we say, and it was because of Houston he got the chance, or Houston's injury he got the chance. But the gesture, it was a great gesture that it was, Houston actually turned it down and said that Albertson earned the medal. So definitely a good thing. Well, definitely a good thing, and very, very noble of Houston as well, and Albertson for doing that. Since he retired from football and also from managing as well in 1987, he's actually done a lot of work for MUTV. He's done that for a few years. He's also coached under-18s as well, and he helps out with hospitality on match days as well, so he does like tours and things. So he's still very, very much involved with the club, and to be 10th on the list of all-time appearances is certainly not something to be shirked at. And maybe if for somebody of the talent they had, he should have won a lot more for us, and maybe a league or two would have definitely been just, shall we say. But here's this week's legend, Arthur Richard Albertson.
And well, we'll move on to the player and cabbage of the week now then. And Dan, I'll start with you. Who's your player of the week?
Player of the week, I think, would have to be Edward van der Sar. Obviously made that crucial save, didn't he, at the Reebok at the weekend. That was a world-class save, really, from Mwamba's shot. So I think, yeah, just for that, really, I think that kind of spurred us on. Realised then the team that we had to push on a little bit more and get some more goals. So I think van der Sar for me.
Dob?
You ready for this, Dan? Are you sitting down? I don't want you to faint or anything like that. But I'm going to give player of the week to Dimitar Berbatov. That is right. Dimitar Berbatov.
Wow.
It's my player of the week.
This is amazing.
It was a bit. It's been a long time coming. He's running about. He's putting lots of effort in. Although he did fall over when he lost his shoe, or his boot, sorry. But he got a couple of goals, and I thought he really led the line very, very well and linked up play beautifully. And I was very, very impressed with him.
That was brilliant. That when he lost his football boot, and he just carried on it. I think that was great. I thought it was quite funny as well.
There's things like that. That sort of earns you player of the week in my book. When you've lost your boot, normally you would expect him to stop and start moaning about it, but he didn't. He carried on and tried to make something happen of it. It didn't, but it was nice to see him trying his best.
Right, so he's growing on you, Dolph. He's growing on you.
he's got a long way to go yet, Steve.
Steve, who's your player of the week?
It's quite difficult, but I'm going to go for Nemanja Vidic. I think having him back in the side, the presence there is a great asset for us. And up against the threat of Kevin Davis in the air as well, I thought he coped really, really well. I don't remember him missing a header, to be honest. What about Cabbage?
This is quite funny. I'm going to give it to your player of the week. I'm giving it to Vidic for his challenge on Elmander. I thought it was overly aggressive.
Dolph.
Wait a minute, Dan. Wait a minute. Right. The reason I'm going to give him it is because I think it was overly aggressive. There's no really. People will say, yeah, that's how you jump and whatever else. But he's got to risk a 4-game ban potentially. And with the sort of the Champions League, the Champions League doesn't really matter, but also we've got the Champions League and we've got the Premier League, which. It's the end of the season. Like, our title challenge is going to hinge on these games that we've got coming up. And if he's out for four of them, that could potentially wreck the title challenge. But Elmander had to like four or five stitches, I think it was, as well. And I don't really think there's any need for that at all. I know he's like,
I don't think it was that bad. It wasn't even his elbow, it was more of his forearm as well, I think.
Taking lessons off Stevie Gerrard.
Well, maybe, but I mean, the fact is that If it was that bad, Armando wouldn't have come back onto the pitch, would he? He'd have had to have been... I know he got stitches in the end, but I don't think it was a massive clash that's anything to write home about, Dov.
It's just the fact that he could possibly be banned for 4 games in the league towards the end of the season. I just think that's a bit silly, shall we say, Dan. But other than that, I couldn't think of anybody else, so... that was it. That was the excuse I was given. What were you, Dan? Are you going to say
that? I think it's got to be Ryan Giggs. I didn't think he had a brilliant game. I know he set up the first goal, but I don't think he did too much in the game after that. And he went off as well. And he was holding his arm, wasn't he, a lot when he was sat behind Fergie, which is quite worrying. But I think Ryan Giggs. He might not be fully match fit anyway, so it's a bit harsh. But like you say, there's not many players who underperformed, really.
Steve, can you think of one? Go on.
It's tough, isn't it? I'll probably go for Antonio Valencia, and that's pretty harsh because he didn't have a bad game. It's just that he didn't really influence the game in terms of assists or goals, so that's the only reason that I'm giving him it.
You're an Armand to please, Steve.
You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
Oh, it's preview time on the redcafe.net podcast, and we'll look ahead to, first of all, the game against Bayern Munich on Tuesday in the quarter-final of the Champions League. I know many of you might listen to this podcast after the game's actually taken place, so we'll try not to dwell too much on a preview for it. But, Dov, Arjen Robben, there's been a lot made of him, about his quality and about whether he'll be fit enough to play. He's obviously going to be a threat if he does play, so how much of a lift would it be if he's not in that starting 11?
Yeah, I think you're right in what you say, Steve. I think it'll be a very, very sort of key point in the game, because Bayern Munich, as far as I'm aware, they're very, very much weighted towards their attacking qualities, and I'm noted for their sort of lack of defensive structure, shall we say. And the two attacking players that most people will look to will be Robben and Ribery. And as far as I'm aware, Robben has been more or less their best player this season. He's scoring goals for them, setting up goals as well. And Ribery, he's been injured quite a lot at the start of the season, so they've kind of relied on Robben to a point. If he's out, which from what I've been reading, it looks like it won't be. I know as a player as well, he won't play if he's not 100%. That's just a personal thing that I know he does. That if he doesn't feel like he's 100%, he won't play regardless of the type of game. And I don't think he will play, and I think that'll be a massive boost for us.
Dan, in terms of the formation, I mean, is there any chance that Ferguson might switch it up, play Berbatov considering the form he's in, or is it likely he's going to go 4-5-1 with Rooney on his own up front?
No, he won't change it. I'd like to see him change it. It'd be quite bold, but I think that we've been doing all right away from home lately in Europe, playing 4-5-1. Because we've got the forwards who can interlink, can't they, interchange. Park can move over to the left if he wants to. Nani can shift to the right. Rooney, he'll just buzz around the box. So I think that, depending on if the midfield stays strong, the midfield three. Yeah, so I'd go with Fletcher, Carrick, and possibly Paul Scholes. I know he came off in the week, didn't he? I think it might have been just an indication that he'll start. This is a game, though, where Anderson, if he was fit, would just thrive, I think. I think it'd be perfect game for him. But unfortunately, he's not available. But I mean, I think our midfield enough, it'll be strong enough.
I don't think it'll be easy, but I think we've got a good chance of getting a draw at least, but certainly a win over there as well.
Dan, are you echoing that? Can you see us going out there and getting a win, or would you be like Dov, happy to take a draw?
I'd be delighted to take a score draw. But I think we are a good enough team. We've showed it recent form. We've been pretty decent scoring goals as well. I think that if we take the game to Bayern, I think we could win it over in Germany, much like we did against Milan, really, in the last round.
Well, everybody, it's that part of the show where we welcome an opposition fan to the redcafe.net podcast, and I'm delighted to welcome David Chidgey from the Chelsea Football Fancast. How are you doing, David?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Not bad at all. Excited after a lovely 4-0 win at the weekend, and I'm guessing you're a bit more excited after a magnificent 7-1.
I think I'm still hungover from Saturday. It was a very beery night after that game, I can tell you.
Yeah, you probably deserve it. I mean, 7-1 against Aston Villa, it's not a bad result. We'll get right into it. The formies are in. The last couple of results, obviously, Portsmouth and Villa scored a bucket load of goals. How do you think you can sustain this type of form going into the title running?
Well, obviously, I hope so, because if we don't, we won't win it, because I do think we're going to have to win every game, because you know, we all know what you're like in the running. So, you know, we drop points, you're going to win it. It's that simple. But, I mean, apart from that, I mean, you know, if... I mean, we've had a tough few weeks, as you know. I mean, suddenly it turned around against Pompey after about an hour, and then emphatically against Villa. And the reason for that was that finally, he seems to have got the formation right. You know, he's got Malouda and Cole playing wide, and certainly with an Elka up front on his own, or, in fact, you could put Drogba there, it just gives us a lot more balance. And the other thing is with Deco playing, he's given Lampard a lot more room, and the evidence, you know, you saw on Saturday was what happens when you get, you know, Lampard more room. I mean, the other thing is, I mean, you know, if he keeps the formation, then I'm going to be very happy, because I think that will help us tremendously. But the other thing you've got to remember is, you know, we've had a lot of injuries at the moment. I mean, Carvalho's now out, Ivanovic is out, and you add Ashley Cole and Essien into that mix as well. We can't really afford to get many injuries. So if we get a few more injuries, then that won't help either, I don't think.
I just want to ask about your sort of the Champions League exit as well, and sort of the John Terry situation, shall we call it. I mean, how has that affected sort of the mood at the club?
Well, I mean, just to pick up on the Champions League exit first, I mean, I don't think it could really get much worse for, you know, for Ancelotti, for the fans, and for Roman Abramovich, than for the club to be knocked out by Inter Milan. For, you know, obviously Ancelotti had a pretty bad record against them when he was AC's manager. And, of course, by Jose Mourinho. I mean, you know, the man who many people believe should still be sitting there, and the man who pretty much fell out with Roman in the first place, which is why he's not there. So it didn't really get, you know, much worse than that. And then add in the fact that it was a pretty inept and clueless performance. Not good. I think it clearly had an effect on the players, because, as you know, I mean, it's been the holy grail for the club for the last 5 or 6 years, and they've got very, very close, as I don't need to tell you. And I think that had an immediate effect on the Blackburn game, because they were pretty listless and, you know, not a good performance at all. Having said that, I think, you know, going forward, it actually might play into our hands. You know, we're not going to have, you know, several very, very high-pressure win-at-all-cost matches like you are. I mean, you've got Bayern Munich tomorrow, which is going to be 3 or 4 days before you play us. We're going to have a nice rest this week. So, you know, it might actually play into our hands for the title running. Talking about JT, I mean, I've had so many people, you know, coming up to me saying, oh, you know, JT's been playing rubbish since it all blew up, and, you know, clearly it's affecting the team. You know, they're all mates of Wayne. I mean, number one, you know, they're all professional footballers. And, I mean, you know, I don't know if you've known anybody who's gone through a divorce or had a bit of a torrid time with an affair or something, but, you know, if you're a plumber, you get on with your job and you just do it as well, because that's how you earn your money. So I'm not buying that. And the other thing is that if you look at John Terry's performances since this blew up, yeah, he's had one or two duff matches, but, you know, players do. But on the whole, he's been pretty solid. And, you know, I mean, the first match after it all blew up, he scored the winner against Burnley, you know, and he's put in some good performances too. So I think overall, I don't think it's affected the club half as much as people would like to think it has.
I would like it to affect it maybe a wee bit more.
We'll phone him up and ask him, shall we? We'll, you know, so John, put in a bad performance just for the Man U boys.
Yeah, honestly, David, that would be perfect if you could do that. If you could sort that out for me, please. You mentioned Ancelotti just briefly there. What are your general thoughts of him as sort of Chelsea boss? Obviously, he was at Milan for 8 years, I believe, won the European Cup, got to a final. Well, shall we say, undeservedly lost that. What are your thoughts on him?
I think he was mugged by a bunch of scousers, wasn't he, mate?
He was indeed. I was a very, very unhappy lad that night, I'll say that much.
I'll let you into a little secret. I can't stand the scousers, so, you know, if we ever have anything to bond about as a Chelsea and a Man U fan, I know it's that. But I watched that final, and I was jumping up and down like a lunatic. My wife came in, because she banished me to the bedroom to watch. She came and she said, what on earth is all the fuss about? I said, Liverpool are getting stuff 3-0, it's brilliant. And she then came in at the end of the second half and said, why is it so quiet in here? Because I was absolutely desperate, you know. But anyway, I mean, moving on to Ancelotti, I mean, to be really honest, mate, you know, I'm not convinced by him. I mean, I wasn't massively convinced when he turned up, because, I mean, you know he won a couple of Champions Leagues and he had a great record in Italy, but he didn't win the title too much there. And it worries me when we get a lot of foreign managers coming over, because it takes them a long time to adjust to the Premier League. And looking at what he's done this season, you could say, well, does he really get it? You know, he's made some very silly mistakes, I think. There's been a certain amount of, you know, a lack of tactical nous. I think for weeks he's been playing the wrong formation, as I was mentioning earlier. He's now obviously changed that, and hopefully that'll work now. I mean, people criticise him for not having enough passion, but, you know, at the end of the day, I don't care as long as he wins football matches. He can sit there doing a moon for the whole of the second half. I don't care. Win matches, I don't care how you look. Having said all that, I mean, the problem that we have is that we've gone through so many managers in the last few seasons, you know, and most proper fans don't like that, you know. I mean, you're incredibly lucky. You've had a manager there for, what, 20-odd years, 23 years?
Yeah.
I mean, you're about the only ones you have. And we just look like mugs if we keep firing our manager, to be honest. And you know, in a way, I'd kind of like to give him a chance, even if he does screw it up this year. I think you've also got to remember that he hasn't actually, you know, bought any players yet. So this squad is not his squad at all. It's still very much Jose's team. I mean, I'll say one thing that would change my mind about Ancelotti totally in a negative way. If he lets you lot get Joe Cole for free this summer, I definitely won't like him.
God, Joe Cole's coming up to Manchester. Everybody knows it.
I tell you what, I hope not. I mean, he's my favourite player. And in this day and age, you know, players like Joe Cole are just like gold dust. He's a creative flair player, and, you know, there's never enough of those around. But more importantly for us, and I'm sure this will resonate with you because you've had enough, you know, kind of Manchester-born and bred players playing there. But, I mean, Joe Cole, you know, was a Chelsea fan. He used to stand at the Shed End when he was a kid, so he bleeds blue. You know, you can't let players like that go out of a club. You just can't. And if he does go, it'll be because they've either been too tight-assed to keep him or Ancelotti just doesn't rate him. And that would be criminal. Really, really would.
What United players do you think could cause you some problems?
Well, obviously Rooney. I mean, you know,
I was going to say, apart from Wayne Rooney, he's not allowed. He's not allowed.
Well, you have to, because he is... I mean, he is on fire at the moment. I just hope, for Christ's sake, that Ferguson, in his horrible Scottish way, doesn't run him into the ground or get him injured before he goes to the World Cup, because I think without Rooney, England are doomed. But other than the obvious, which is Rooney, I can't stand him. He's one of my most unfavourite players, and in a way, that tells you a lot. But Fletcher is a massive irritant. And I remember games that we play again. When you won 1-0 up there and he scored the winner.
Yeah,
and,
I remember.
You know, he intrigues me. I don't like him at all. He's like a little kind of... He's like a Fergie mini-me. Tough tackling and aggressive. And he needles the opposition and the fans. And he's a real little fighter. And, you know, whilst I don't think he's the best midfielder in the world by a long, 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 long way, he does a really good job. And, you know, I'm kind of not... I wouldn't say I'm worried about him, but I think he's certainly somebody that... I mean, you know, he could kick Deco up in the air for fun all afternoon, for example, if Deco plays.
Finally, we've just got to get a little question for you. You might not like this, but if you could have a United player, I would say money's no object, but you've got Roman Abramovich as your owner, so money isn't an object. Who would it be? And Wayne Rooney's not allowed.
I know you're not going to let me have Rooney. I would have Rooney like a shot. And I mean, hand on heart, and you might just say I'm being an arrogant Chelsea tosser, and I'm really not. There's not one player from your side that I would really want. If I look at who we've got in our squad and I look at who you've got in your squad, there isn't one that I would have. If you really, really, really pushed me...
I'm going to push you, David.
You're going to push me, and I will allow myself to be pushed. But if you were to push me, I would have Hargreaves if he was fit. Because I mean, the Hargreaves that I remember from the 2006 World Cup was one of England's best players at that tournament. But not only that, you know, I'm not massively enamoured of Mikel. I mean, we've had him a while since we nicked him from you, and he doesn't seem to really improve. And I think Hargreaves would be great in the holding role for us.
Well, before we let you go, David, I just want to get a quick prediction off you. How do you think it's going to go? Obviously, it's a title decider. It's a massive game. Usually, you'd say they end up in stalemates. What do you think? Do you think you can come
up
to Manchester?
I tell you what, mate. You know, because you had the goodness of your heart and common sense to kind of let me know you're going to have a chat with me. I did have a look back, and it's fascinating. You know, since the Premiership began, you lot have won 6 matches. We've won 4. There have been 7 draws, but you've scored 23 goals and we've scored 21. You know, I mean, matches at Stamford Bridge, we're 7 years unbeaten against you at Stamford Bridge. Last 5 seasons, we played 13 times, we've won 5, you've won 5, 3 have been draws. So, I mean, you know, historically we have a good record up at Old Trafford, better than a lot of people do. You know, there have been some mad results. There's been 3-0s, there's been 3-3s, but, you know, it's also been really tight. This time round, it's going to be fascinating, you know, because frankly, I think whoever wins this match is going to win the title. So we can't go there and get a draw. A draw's no good to us. You could probably get away with having a draw just, but not by a lot. So really, it's winner takes all. So, you know, when Fergie turned up at the bridge in November or whenever it was, or maybe a bit earlier, it was quite a stalemate. And I was quite surprised, actually, because there are periods of that match when I thought you could have really, you know, grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck and really taken it to us, but you didn't. You know, he set out quite a negative side. He was playing 5 in the midfield, which is Rooney up front, which surprised me. And we got a, you know, we were quite lucky, to be frank, and we got a 1-0 win. I can't see that happening. I can't see them both going out negatively not to lose. It just won't work. And I hope they both go out to really give it a go. And I think, funnily enough, you know, for our, from our point of view, the best way for us to get a result out there is to really go for it and go and attack. But, of course, the corollary of that is I think that's your best chance as well, because our defence has been a bit leaky this season. I mean, it could end up as a real humdinger and a lot of goals. But on the podcast that we did this weekend, and I don't know whether this is more in hope than expectation, but most of the lads, including me, were saying 3-1 and to us, of course. And, I mean, the reason I say that is because, you know, I can see us getting 1-0 up, you getting a goal back, us getting another goal, and then you chasing it for maybe the last 10 minutes and we can nick another one. So that's my prediction. I hope it comes to bear fruit.
That'd be interesting. I think a lot might depend on the Champions League result in midweek, but I'm sure it'll be an interesting match. And like you say, I think I'm with you on that. I think it will be winner takes all. Whoever wins this should go on and win the league, but hopefully it will stay in Manchester. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, I think you've got a good point about the Champions League match, because, you know, it'd be interesting to see what happens there and, you know, if you get any injuries or whatever, or if you get a pacing or whatever. I mean, for what it's worth, I think you'll do Bayern Munich, because I don't think they're a good side, really. But I'll tell you what, whoever wins, the other one will buy them a pint. How's that?
Yeah, that'll suit me fine. Well, I shall wish you luck for the weekend, but not too much.
Well, I was going to say, that's very magnanimous of you to wish me luck.
No, not too much luck, though.
May the best team win, mate.
Excellent.
It's Chelsea.
Good stuff, David. It has been an absolute pleasure having you.
No problem, mate. Not a problem at all.
Well, that was the views of our opposition fan this week. And, Dov, I mean, where do you start? Chelsea, Premier League, Saturday. It's huge, isn't it? It really is immeasurably huge. I mean, would you say whoever wins it, that's it for the title, they'll go on and win the league, or is there still far too early yet, even though we've got, what, 7 or 8 games left?
I think this whole, I would say 90% decide whoever wins this, if anybody does, 90% decide who wins the league. I think is that much of an important game. They're 1 point behind us, and they haven't got the Champions League, so I think they can and probably will win the rest of their games for this season. I think we could maybe, I think like David said, we could probably get away with a draw and still go on and sort of become champions. But I would much prefer the win, as I think everybody would, because it would give us a bit of breathing space between ourselves and them, and maybe give us that one game where we can sort of play either weekend team or slip up, because there are a lot of twists and turns. But I think if they win this, that would give them momentum to keep on going for the rest of the season.
You didn't mention Arsenal there, though. I mean, do you think they're out of it now after that draw against Birmingham?
I think so, yeah.
No.
I don't see them winning that at all. I don't think they've got the squad to compete in the Champions League and in the league.
Listen, if say United and Chelsea draw on Saturday, and who are Arsenal playing on that Saturday? I mean, there's a chance they're going to win that game, you know, and if we draw, you know, they're back in it again. They're back to square one where we were this weekend. So,
yeah, so they've got Wolves at home, Dan. So you would expect them to win that.
You'd expect them to win it, yeah. But Wolves have had some good results lately. But I mean, I don't think you can write it off yet until. Well, I just don't think you can, really. Actually, there's no until about it. I just don't think you can write them off.
I just think with regards to Arsenal's challenge,
we discussed it, didn't we? You know, we've got City away, and we've got to play Tottenham as well. You know, we could conceivably slip up in both of them games. You know, and then Arsenal, they'll be ahead of us. So
yeah,
I think
Arsenal will slip up again. I can see Chelsea going on and winning the rest of their games, but I cannot see Arsenal do it. They've got the Wolves game sandwiched in between two games against Barcelona, which I don't think they'll win. And I think Arsenal are a team who they rely a lot on, so they're a mental side, they rely a lot on confidence and things like that. And I think two defeats against Barcelona would dent their confidence, and I think they could. I think this is that's how they'll slip up. And
I actually think that they'll do really well against Barcelona. I'm not saying they're going to go through, but I think they'll compete, certainly. It just depends how they handle Lionel Messi, isn't it? I mean, I imagine you stop the ball getting to Messi, you stop half of Barcelona's threat, I think.
What about Chelsea, though, do you think? Like, can you see them winning the rest of their games?
Let's be honest, they're in fantastic form, aren't they? Well, they were last week. I know they drew against Blackburn, but they should have won that game, really, with the chances that they had. And they put them all away on Saturday against Villa, which I was surprised that Villa got turned over 7-1. So I think that Chelsea are obviously the biggest threat. But, I mean, hopefully they'll be a bit overconfident now when they come to Old Trafford, and we'll be able to capitalise on that.
What about you, Steve? How do you think it's sort of shaping up after, obviously, Chelsea's huge win at the weekend?
I think the game on Saturday is going to have a huge bearing, to be honest. I think whoever wins that will take the confidence on and go on and win their remaining games. But like you say, the Champions League is still going to have a big part to play. I mean, we're going to go out and hopefully go out and get past Bayern Munich, and then we've potentially got Lyon or Bordeaux, and you'd look at that and hope that we'd be able to get through that as well. So potentially we could be looking at a final wedged in between having to compete for the Premier League as well. So I think it's going to be a big game. If we can beat Chelsea at home, that'll knock their confidence. They've not got the Champions League to fall back on either. And I don't think they would go on and win all their games if we beat them on Saturday. But then if they win, they've got all the confidence. So I do think it's going to, mentally wise, it's going to be huge. But Dov, what about the lineup? I mean, we talked about it for the Bayern game, that Ferguson away from home in Europe, he loves that 4-5-1 system, but he's even seen to do it in the Premier League as well. And I mean, Chelsea, they're a strong side. Do you think he will set up the 4-5-1, or will Berbatov come back in considering it's at home?
I think he'll play the way he played against Liverpool. I think you'll see a team like that. I think you'll see a hard-working team. I would expect Fletcher and Park probably to be in the side, both of them as well, just for the energy that they give the rest of the side, and obviously hoping that there's no injuries between now and then. I think he'll go sort of, obviously Rooney is the lone man up front,
and I think the 4-4-2 might be the best way to go, to say it's counter what you're saying, because the fullbacks aren't fit, are they? Ivanovic is injured. And is Ferreira on the left back as well, or is it Zhirkov?
Zhirkov's been playing.
I think we can get at them too, especially with Valencia on the left and say Nani on the right. I think I'd do that.
I think playing that way would be all right, and then having Rooney as a lone front man and having the three in midfield, because like Chelsea, they have got a really strong centre midfield, and I think you probably need three players to combat that, because they do play really, really narrow.
Oh, they do. Yeah, that's why I think they should go with Nani on the left, Valencia on the right. And I think Park sort of playing in a central, I know he's done it for the past few games, in a more central role with, say, I don't know, Fletcher has got to start, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. And Carrick. I think that's a really good midfield, and I think it can definitely compete against, I mean, Frank Lampard. I think he's the only outstanding midfielder, central midfield. I think Malouda's in good form. He'll be one to watch. But I think that, inevitably, I think we'll be too strong for them.
What about a prediction then, Dan?
2-1 United.
Dolph?
I'm actually going to agree with that. I think it'll be a tight game, but I think we'll just shed it.
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting, and we're certainly going to look forward to it. But that is just about it for episode 34 of the RedCafe.net podcast. Thanks a lot for listening this week. Make sure you get joined up to the Facebook group if you haven't done that yet, and send us your emails too to podcast@redcafe.net.